This is a Shift Podcast Network production.
Welcome to Here and Back Again. I'm David O'Callaghan, and this is a podcast looking at all things releasing weekly on streaming and the cinemas. With a bit of, actually, not even a bit, a lot of pop culture bits thrown in this week. I mean, so much. Anyway, yes, it's another week of solid content dropping. Some people might say solid content is a bad word, but are bad words. It's kind of a bit of a smorgasbord filled with something for everyone that, while not exactly box office, it's still pretty decent. So, shall we begin?
They say it took 6 days to make the Earth. How did they know it was six? How can you even define a day before you knew what a day was? Nobody understands that in the creation of man, time had to be broken. And nobody knows if God fixed that break. Or if he wanted to see what we'd do with that particular problem.
In the first season of Outer Range, Josh Brolin played Royal Abbott, a rancher defending his Wyoming land and his family's future. So far, yes, so Yellowstone. But then, yes, things got very freaky and very interesting for us sci-fi nerds, and having discovered a strange, otherworldly black hole type thing on the edge of their land, suddenly the show became a time-travelling sci-fi mystery western thriller. Holy crap, all those genres. I love it. And despite not exactly understanding what the hell was going on, I loved it. I love Josh Brolin. He's absolutely fantastic. This one arrives on our screens 2 years later, and having fully expected it to have been axed by Prime Video for being way feckin' too weird, we are back with Season 2, yes, of Outer Range. Oh my god. And the good news also is that for this season, rather than a weekly release, all 7 episodes have dropped simultaneously. Praise be! So that is Outer Range Season 2. Let the freakathon continue. It's now on Prime Video.
Dearest gentle reader, we have been apart for far too long. At last, London's fashionable set has made its return. And it seems that our bon ton is moving with the changing tide. So too is this author.
I cannot live at home any longer. I must take a husband.
Does my lady have a suitor in mind?
Is that a brother?
Colin?
Brother, under what foreign sun did you apparently get so sturdy?
Bridgerton returns to Netflix for Season 3, Part 1, after another 2-year hiatus, and after a somewhat disappointing second season. Folks, we're not happy with that season. Not enough sexy time, some would say. Not enough. Anyway, this one looks to get back on track and into favour with the fandom once again. Season 3 is due to be all about pollen. What now? What's that now? Well, that's the blended couple name for Penelope Federating, played by Nicola Coughlan, and her crush Colin Bridgerton, played by Luke Newton. Their mixed messaging, is it on, is it off, is it even a thing? Relationship has been a sideshow of previous seasons, but now fans are getting what they want. All while Penelope continues to keep her biggest secret, the fact that she's society gossipmonger Lady Whistledown, under wraps too. Gorgeous frocks, smouldering looks, sexy times are back, all wrapped up in Jane Austen vibes and based on Julia Quinn's 4th book, Romancing Mr. Bridgerton. Let the games commence. So that is Bridgerton Season 3, Part 1, which is now on Netflix, with Part 2 dropping on June 13th.
I love being a dad, I love my wife. It was a beautiful marriage, but it was also just like monotonous. I remember seeing an advertisement. Life is short, have an affair. I was like, that sounds intriguing.
Ashley Madison was ahead of its time.
The vision was to be the largest and only website for married people who wanted to have an affair. When I would go to trade shows, I would say, you know, who's your biggest competitor? And I'd say, the Bible.
The new docuseries Ashley Madison, Sex, Lies and Scandal on Netflix has been described by some as a fascinating watch, which describes the sleazy rise and humiliating fall of the infamous website. When Ashley Madison, a dating site for people seeking adulterous affairs, is hacked, millions of users' intimate data is exposed, wrecking marriages and destroying lives. Complete carnage ahoy. Oh yes, get the popcorn and vino out. This is a type of scandalous doc that performs to huge numbers on the streamer and will most likely be an absolute smash for them. So that's Ashley Madison, Sex, Lies and Scandal, which is now all up on Netflix.
The story I'm about to tell you is how I, Huey P. Newton, the Black Panther Party founder, was set free into a prison. I envision a world beyond conflict and violence. I want to transform society. This is just the beginning.
Talk about a star. That guy's a star.
Bird Dig, Richard Pryor as Huey P. Newton in the Huey Newton story.
Well, don't we look alike?
Not really.
The FBI has been pursuing Huey Newton for years.
In The Big Cigar on Apple TV Plus, Andre Holland stars as Huey P. Newton in a 6-episode miniseries based on the true story of how the Black Panther leader fled to Cuba with the help of Hollywood producer Bert Schneider to evade capture by the FBI. Absolutely mad stuff. Mad, and yes, definitely giving off strong Argo vibes here. It is based on a magazine article by Joshua Behrman, who, well, wouldn't you know it, also provided the source material for Argo. Well, there you go. The series comes to us from none other than Jim Hecht. Who's that now? Well, he's the guy who gave us the LA Lakers series Winning Time, and the first 2 episodes, which have dropped, are directed by Don Cheadle. I mean, what the hell is not to love about this one? So that's The Big Cigar, which is now on Apple TV+. Next, for any sane, decent, normal football fans, sportsball heads, maybe you should click forward about 2 minutes.
1999.
It had been a hell of a season.
People want to know what happened. How was it on the inside?
We've all got our stories.
There was desperation.
Sheer fear.
There was no time to rest.
The history of the club, what we stood for. We carried that weight.
The egos come out. I could feel the tension.
He grabbed me and said, "What are you popping me out for, you?"
It was chaos.
Yes. Oh, God. Here we go again. First we had City's treble, and now we have this absolute piece of self-congratulatory propaganda. And, I suppose I'm going to have to talk about it. With Arsenal still going for the title, despite last night's devastating Spurs, you feckin' Egypt. I thought I'd be the bigger man, and maybe karma will reward me with a historic victory this weekend. I doubt it, but feck it. Anyway, shut up. The 99 on Netflix looks at the 1998-99 football season, where Man United managed a pretty ridiculous achievement, as over the course of 10 days in 1999, they sealed victory in the Premier League, the Champions League and the FA Cup. Yes, an historic treble. There are interviews here with key figures like Teddy Sheringham, David Beckham, Peter Schmeichel, Gary Neville and Alex Ferguson. Don't see Roy Keane. Roy Keane doesn't seem to be in the mix. Maybe he just went, no, don't want to be involved here, because him and Fergie probably had a bit of a bargee. However, it must be truly annoying that to celebrate their 25th anniversary of the treble, City went and did it last year. So it's historical, but now two Manchester teams have done it. Anyway, they probably wish they'd released it last year, but then it wouldn't have been 25 years. Anyway, there you go. I've done it. I've got through it. 99, with its hashtag limited appeal, is now available on Netflix. You can relive the good old days. Do you remember those good old days, lads? No, be nice, Dave. One game to go. Come on. And wait, no. No, I'm not trolling Man United fans. I swear to God, it's Prime Video. The City one is on Netflix. So if you went to Netflix and put in treble, you would get the City one. So no, I didn't deliberately do that. I just got my trebles mixed up. good times. That's the 99 on Prime Video.
Ain't nobody want to hear music from a plain old farm pony.
Hold up, Otis. What do I remind you of?
A pony with a large edible mass growing out of its brain?
Come on, you can do better than that.
I think you better go take a look at yourself.
I'm a unicorn.
Woo-hoo!
I'm a unicorn!
Look, look, there's a unicorn. I told you they were real.
Can you shoot lasers?
What color is your blood?
Can you do anything magical?
Yeah. I can sing.
A much more wholesome watch. We have Thelma the Unicorn on Netflix. Yes, a Smallies alert. Smallies rejoice. In this one, Thelma is a small-time farm pony who dreams of becoming a glamorous music star. In a pink and glitter-filled moment of fate, Thelma is transformed into a unicorn and instantly rises to global stardom. However, this new life of fame comes at a cost. Oh no! Thelma the Unicorn is based on the best-selling Australian children's book series of the same name by Aaron Blabey. It features a box office voice cast including Brittany Howard, Will Forte, Jermaine Clement, Edie Patterson, Zach Galifianakis and John Heder. It is also written and directed, believe it or not, by Jared Harris of Napoleon Dynamite and Nacho Libre fame. And while this one is 100% for the smallies, based on that directing pedigree, maybe adults will get a bit of a kick out of it too. I'm going to say if you or your kids like to sing, well, this one is defo for you with the added bonus of, yes, being unicorn themed. Who doesn't love a unicorn? What kind of weird person are you that has no time for unicorns? Anyway, love it. Looking like the first decent animated movie on streaming in a long time. That is Thelma the Unicorn, which is now on Netflix.
Rachel, we're delighted to let you know that we've had movement on our wait list.
We got a spot at the Womb Center.
Oh,
God. But I haven't told Alvy yet.
Oh, why, Rachel?
He wants a natural child.
But hold on, you put us on a wait list to have a baby and an egg.
No, it's not an egg.
It's an egg.
Women are reluctant to have children because it's not made convenient. We want them to pursue their careers and dreams.
The Pod Generation on Prime Video is a dark romantic comedy set in a not-so-distant future where a tech giant called Pegasus offers couples the opportunity to share their pregnancies via detachable artificial wombs or pods. And so begins Rachel and Alvy's wild ride to parenthood in this brave new world. Starring Emilia Clarke and Chiwetel Ejiofor, early reviews, they've kind of ranged from meh to decent. But you know what? If this is kind of your jam, kind of slightly futuristic, creepy, pregnancy movies, that's The Pod Generation, which is now on Prime Video. Power on Netflix is a new documentary by Academy Award nominee director Yance Ford, which addresses the tough questions on how policing in the US as we know it came to be. Delving into the untold history of American policing in this thought-provoking doc, it asks questions like, who is more powerful, the people or the police? Yeah, again, arriving with some decent buzz on this one. That is Power, which is now on Netflix. In our non-English section this week, first up we have coming from Korea, and yes, get ready for some Squid Game-esque insanity with The 8 Show, which is on Netflix. 8 individuals trapped in a mysterious secret space divided into 8 floors who participate in a tempting but dangerous game show where they earn money as time passes. All you need to know is it's a darkly comedic thriller and it's oh so Korean. AKA, it's going to be absolutely batshit and should do really, really well. So that is The 8 Show, which is on Netflix. And Monster on Netflix is an Indonesian horror thriller with minimal dialogue about two kids attempting to escape from their kidnapper and the chaos which follows. Giving off strong A Quiet Place vibes, minus the freaky aliens. That's Monster from Indonesia, which is now on Netflix. And finally on streaming this week, you know what? With Paramount Plus having recently dropped all seasons of Buffy on its streamer, it's time for some more quality nostalgia and mystery from another 90s cracker. Ho, ho, ho. Yes, the truth is out there, people. The truth is out there. As seasons 1 to 4 of The X-Files are now up on Paramount Plus, taking us on a journey, a beautiful journey with Mulder and Scully from 1993 to 97, which were easily, most definitely the best years of the series before, yes, Chris Carter's show started to somewhat derail itself. Absolute quality high. I was feckin' upset. Who wasn't obsessed with the show? The way things are going, I'm praying that Millennium, the Lance Henriksen show, appears on Paramount Plus soon, because I love that so much. However, for now, The X-Files seasons 1 to 4. Yes, that Tombs episode, I'll be digging that one out for a start, is now, or are now, on Paramount Plus. What's that? Clyde Bruckman's Final Repose, the one about the psychic dude. I think it's season 3 or 4. Absolute banger. Absolute banger. So Tombs and Clyde Bruckman, they're my two, but I have to go back over them to see which ones. Anyway, shut up. And that is your streaming for the week. As I said, it's a mixed bag. It's, you know, there's enough there to keep you interested. You know, little nuggets, not huge amounts, but, you know, sometimes small is good, small is beautiful. It's a small world, after all. What is he talking about? Just get on to cinema, will you? You feckin' idiot. Yes, it's time for some cinema.
This is just so exciting.
What is happening?
Well, that's a perfectly understandable question given numb.
I'm an if. Get it? Imaginary friend.
Our kids grew up.
So we need new ones.
You could save all of us.
All of who? And don't say ifs.
Let him say it, or I think his head may actually explode.
Fine.
Thank you.
In John Krasinski's new movie, If, which he wrote and directed, after Bee discovers she can see everyone's imaginary friends, she embarks on a magical adventure to reconnect forgotten ifs with their kids. Giving off strong Toy Story vibes with regards to its premise of forgotten toys or forgotten ifs, this one is less of a kids movie and best described as more of a family movie. What I mean by that is that maybe kids under 6 may not appreciate the emotional weight and storytelling Krasinski goes for. However, the large, ridiculous, over-the-top imaginary friends are pretty funny and fantastic. But as I said, there's a lot of dark themes such as loss, death, fear and belonging, which are also dealt with throughout. So, funnily enough, this movie, as I watched it, reminded me of Robin Williams' little talked about cracker Toys, the movie, which I absolutely adore. I own both the VHS and DVD. And yes, it sadly bombed hugely, mentally, terribly. Adult-themed family movies were a big thing in the 80s with things like The Goonies, Gremlins, Labyrinth and The Dark Crystal. And you know what? This wouldn't be out of place among that lot with its kind of, as I said, dark. Dark. Not too dark, but kind of adult themes. Kaylee Fleming from The Walking Dead is absolutely fantastic as Bee. And that's important because, as we all know, a child actor's performance can sink or swim your franchise and its box office hopes, and she carries the weight of the movie perfectly on her wee little shoulders. Ryan Reynolds is low-key, but hey, he's Ryan Reynolds. And Krasinski stars as Bee's father, but he's feck all to do, really. He just kind of lurks and is, you know, somewhat annoying with his cheeky, chappy, positive vibes. No, not having it. As for those imaginary friends, Krasinski dug out that Rolodex and called in all the favours with some voice acting from all sorts, whether the roles are big or small. So you have Steve Carell, you have Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Lou Gossett Jr., George Clooney, Blake Lively, Emily Blunt, Matt Damon, Maya Rudolph, and Jon Stewart. Holy moly. As I mentioned, packing an emotional punch, highly imaginative, and bless our cotton socks, an original IP for kids to go see. That's the new family movie, If, which is now in cinemas. Rumours of some people blubbing at certain parts? Don't know if they're true or not. Can't tell you. Just can't tell you. Oh, and Fiona Shaw also stars as the grandmother. Is, you know, she's got a decent role, but, you know, probably not big enough. But she's always class. Love a bit of Fiona Shaw. And I know you're now expecting me to say, and now with a review from the Minions, your favourite reviewers out in Newcastle. Well, looks like they've all got agents and they're demanding too much sugar and sweets to, you know, go on a silly pod anymore, you know. That's just life. But as far as I know, they did love it. They really enjoyed it. But I think they're still bouncing off the walls from all the treats they had in the day. But they give it a thumbs up. But that's all they're giving you. It's a thumbs up is all you're getting from them this week.
Do you know what today is?
Today is the third day of our 3-day road trip across the country.
Or our 5-year anniversary. What a cool little town. I actually like this so much better than a hotel. I bet the people who live here are really happy.
Tough crowd, right?
Hi.
Hi.
Do you hear that?
Hear what?
The silence. It's nice.
Sadly, there were no press screenings for this one, but who cares, because I'm all in. Yes, it's a new horror flick, and it's The Strangers Chapter 1, which is directed by none other than Rennie Harlan, who gave us such iconic classics as Die Hard 2, The Long Kiss Goodnight, Cliffhanger, and Deep Blue Sea. Oh, what a time that was for him, and unfortunately in the last 15 years he seems to have fallen off a cliff, but he's back. This is the third film in the Strangers film series, created by Brian Bertino, and is also the first installment in a new trilogy of standalone movies, all directed by Harlan, where Chapter 1, this one, will follow a similar premise to the first film and takes place in the same continuity as the first two installments and acts as a prequel to the first film. What is going on? You know what? There you go. You have to, that's the plot. That's the outline. No idea what's just happened, but I'm all in. I hope you got all that. So the premise, in case you missed the memo, is that of a couple who come into contact with three psychopathic masked strangers while on a road trip. Home invasion horrors. What is not to love? 90 minutes. Get in, get out. I've got my Saturday morning screening booked already. I don't care if it's bleeding, the sun is on me. Stoop, I'm there. Bring it on. That's The Strangers, Chapter 1, which is now in cinemas.
We're Team Ireland. We're a cheerleading team representing the country.
God, I didn't think we had cheerleading teams in Ireland.
Go, Green!
We're Generation 1 of Irish cheer.
Whereas Florida for cheerleading is like getting to the Olympics.
I think that's every cheerleader's dream.
Eat, Sleep, Cheer, Repeat is an uplifting coming-of-age Irish documentary which follows the athletes of the Team Ireland's cheerleading squads as they attempt to reach their goal of top 10 in the world at the Cheer World Championships in Florida. If you are a fan of Netflix's fantastic Cheer series, you will know what you are getting into here, except this time it's set in Galway during the pandemic. What cannot be denied here is the effort, the friendships, the struggles that these kids go through while their coach, God bless his cotton socks, attempts to keep everything on track during these COVID times and to keep it from derailing through ill discipline and injuries. It's also a story of kids growing into themselves, understanding their place in the world, and choosing how to face up against any adversity coming their way or their teammates. It's a very moving, beautifully handled, and very sweet and charming sports documentary. It's now on limited release in cinemas, and I'd highly recommend it. But if you do miss it, I'm fairly certain it'll turn up on RTÉ or streaming pretty soon, and you should absolutely catch it when you can. So that is Eat, Sleep, Cheer, Repeat. And finally, this week in cinemas, we have Horde, which is another movie on limited release, which is set between the 80s and the 90s. The story follows Maria, a teenager whose mother used to be a hoarder, but now she lives in a foster home where a previous resident, Michael, inspires her to revisit her childhood memories and passions that she has repressed. Starring Hayley Squires and Joseph Quinn in the leads, and also in her feature film debut, Sarah Lightfoot Leon, who won a lot of festival awards. This British drama is also the directorial debut of Luna Carmoon. So that's Horde, which is now on limited release in cinemas. And there you go, that's your cinemas. I know what you're thinking. It's too sunny to go to the cinema, but maybe there's some decent aircon in there if you want to get out of the heat. But yeah, God bless the poor cinemas. This sun is not helping them in any way. Right, new music this week. Oh yes, have we got a banger for you. Banger? Is that what the cool kids say these days? Hit Me Hard and Soft is the third studio album by American singer-songwriter Billie Eilish. Very little is known about the album, as you can tell by that fairly minimal vibe just there. as it was only announced on April 8th, but promotional billboards have displayed cryptic lyrics such as "She's the headlights, I'm the deer," or "Did I cross the line?" or "Do you know how to bend?" No idea what's going on, but hey, we wait with bated breath. And what we have been promised is lots of guitar, lots of synths, and lots of sad, blubby songs. All very exciting, and starting her world tour in September in Canada. I'm not going to lie, folks. I'm not going to lie. I went and bought tickets for July's concert in Dublin, and literally only now just copped on that the feckin' gig is 2025. I, like, was doing me notes. I'm like, ah, for feck's sake. At least I'll know the words by the time she turns up. Anyway, that's Billie Eilish and her new album, Hit Me Hard and Soft, which is now out in the ether and awaiting your listening pleasure. Also in music, and one I actually forgot to mention in streaming, Queen Rock Montreal, which was a cinema release in IMAX earlier in the year, is now on Disney Plus. And if you're a Queen head or just love a good old bit of rock and roll remastered from 1981, you gotta get in there. Freddie and the Boys giving it socks. They're using their IMAX enhanced way of putting it on the TV as well, and it's got a quality sound by DTS, so pump it up. Pump it up. And that is Queen Rock Montreal, the documentary from the 1981 concert, and I would highly, highly recommend it. Moving quickly along, we have three things we noticed in pop culture this week. And, well, it's less about three things and more about the multiple things revealed at this year's TV and streaming upfronts, which were held at Radio City Music Hall in New York City. What's an upfront? The upfront is a week of showing off your wares as TV and streaming companies come in and reveal to advertisers all the new content that's coming, either renewed or brand new. It's usually attended by advertisers, media buyers, marketers, journalists, and TV and streaming industry professionals. And while it was almost on its knees a few years back as streaming took over and linear TV fell apart, streamers are now obviously getting in on the advertising act, and it has come back with a feckin' bang. This year's two big winners seem to be obviously Netflix, as always, but also Prime Video seem to have wowed everyone with their pretty stacked slate. Looking at Prime first, and in no particular order, the big reveals were Roadhouse 2. Roadhouse 2 is now in the works, and yes, Jake Gyllenhaal will return. And to anyone who stayed and watched the mid-credit scene, the likelihood is that Conor McGregor, the aggressive fighting leprechaun, may also return. Whether director Doug Liman will be invited back after his whole shenanigans about the cinema release, we don't know yet. Maybe just too much drama. So that's Roadhouse 2 on the way. Mr. and Mrs. Smith returns for a second season, but hold that joy and excitement for a minute, because it looks like the series will be an anthology and Donald Glover and Maya Erskine will not be returning, as it will feature a new couple. Is this to do with Childish Gambino, new album, new movie for Donald Glover, and a world tour so we can't film it? Who knows? Maybe they meant it all along. Anyway, it's coming back, but with new peeps involved. For fans of the Reacher TV series and anyone who likes James Patterson's Cross books but never the movies, well, Aldous Hodge is now on board to play Alex Cross, and I'm not gonna lie, I do believe we may have finally found the perfect fit. Yeah, I'm gonna say this is gonna be a cracker. So that is Cross, James Patterson's Cross, that is. Superhero Antichrist's The Boys have been renewed for a fifth season, and that's even before season four drops in June. Very exciting. And Fallout obviously got a second season, no surprise there, as did The Summer I Turned Pretty, which has gotten a third season, which will have 11 episodes coming in 2025. Told you, they're stacked. A Legally Blonde prequel is in the works and will follow Elle Woods in high school. And for now, it's called Elle. Obviously, Reese Witherspoon is involved. And a live-action Tomb Raider series has been greenlit by Prime Video, where Phoebe Waller-Bridge will write it, possibly showrun it, but not star in it. And finally from Prime, ah yes, the man, the moment, the legend, Nicolas Cage will star in the live-action adaptation of his Spider-Man noir character, which he played in the animated Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. What is not to love about that? Feck yeah. So yeah, Prime came in, kicked everybody's ass and like took all their names. And then Yeah, what can you do? Well, at least Netflix put up a fight. What have they got? Well, they revealed that the Three Body Problem season 2 is happening, but in a kind of way, costing nearly $20 million an episode and not exactly setting the world on fire, despite me liking it. Netflix have agreed to let the showrunners finish the story over a few more episodes while not a full season 2. They felt it was important to allow Benioff and Weiss to complete their story, despite it being originally planned to be a 4-season show. And also, they're still in bed with Benioff and Weiss, and they've more stuff to do. So, yeah, whatever. Sports-wise, they've gone absolutely mad with regards to docuseries, comedy shows, and movies. First up, Happy Gilmore 2 with Adam Sandler. Yes, it's now a thing and will be happening in 2025. So a lot of people will be very happy with that. Also on the golf front, Will Ferrell will have a new 10-episode comedy series called Golf, where he will play a fictional golf legend. I'll take that, yes. NFL, they've gone mad. They've gone mad. They're finally in the live sports arena, I suppose. Because here on Christmas Day, games will be happening at 6 p.m. and 9:30 p.m., so what perfect timing. So Christmas Day, the kids will be cream crackered from running around and being hyper. The visiting relatives will have been, shall we say, removed from the premises. And it'll be perfect to lounge on the couch in your expander pants and with a turkey sandwich. So yeah, NFL live Christmas Day, 2 games. Hell yes. There's a new anime Terminator series called Terminator or Terminator Zero. I can't figure out which one it is. Anyway, it'll be set in Tokyo and will kind of exist in the universe of the first 2 movies, just the first 2, the good ones. And what we've seen so far looks amazeballs. Cameron Diaz returns for her first film in 10 years on Netflix with Jamie Foxx in the movie Back in Action. Don't know much about it, but feck it, I'm in. And finally, from Netflix, Squid Game 2 will release in December. Oh, ah, yes, very good, very good. Love it, love it. Anything else of interest? Yeah, it was, you know, some of the others tried to huff and puff, but they blew nothing down. So Dune Prophecy dropped its first trailer, and this prequel will be set 10,000 years before the birth of Paul Atreides and the current world we're seeing in the movies, and it stars Emily Watson and Mark Strong. And the Agatha series, which has been coming for a bajillion years and changed its name about 72 times, was finally revealed to have its true name on Disney Plus coming this autumn. And it's Agatha all along. Ha, very funny, lads. Very funny. So yeah, some absolute, like, I just can't keep up. There was loads of other news, but we'll come back to that next week because I can't cope. That's just too much. Your poor brain will just explode. Yeah, I think that's us. I think we should wind it up there. As I said, small and perfectly formed week of, yeah, decent content all across the board, decent goss, and some quality music. Right, this is David O'Callaghan for the Here and Back Again podcast, wishing you all the best, and until next week, stay safe and binge happy.
Well, hello. Hello there, post-credits traveller. Yet again, I nearly forgot who you were. Welcome yet again. Yes, a place where, as you know, anything goes. Truths will be told. And do you know what? Today, folks, I'm wearing my streaming business hat, following some very intriguing developments in the US. Oh, yes, they've nodded off in the back already. Stop, wake up, wake up. This is good stuff. Well, as you may well know by now, there are too many streamers in operation, and most customers these days who aren't a freak like me churn between the various ones depending on what content is available. So say, for example, with the new Bridgerton arriving in May on Netflix, a lot of folks may have unsubscribed or churned out of Disney Plus or Prime Video and now have Netflix for the month and are binging the hell out of Bridgerton and probably a few other things. However, when June comes around, you may find that they drop Netflix and get Prime so they can watch the new season of The Boys, or get Disney Plus so they can watch the new season of The Bear or Star Wars Acolyte, or in the US they get HBO Max so they can watch House of the Dragon Season 2. Such is the world that these are the issues facing these big entertainment entities. Well, in the space of 7 days, two massive shifts were announced in the US, which may be an indication of the future of streaming and some of these services. And as we predicted way back in the 60s, or episode 60s, it's bundling. Bundling is the future, folks. First up, Disney and Warner announced that from June, Disney Plus, Hulu, and HBO Max will be available to purchase as one single bundle at what will be assumed to be a much more attractive price than if you were churning them monthly and separately. Don't forget, these giants of sports content are also bundling their sporting channels together, with ESPN, Fox and Warner Discovery Sports being available as a sports package together. Again, relatively cheaper than if you bought them individually. Very intriguing. So here we have previous enemies, now frenemies, all in an attempt to compete with the Netflix overlords. But then, within 3 days of this announcement, Comcast revealed that they themselves were about to offer a new streaming bundle called Stream Saver that features Netflix, Peacock and Apple TV Plus, all under one discount price. What? So while this is currently only happening in the US, you can bet your bottom dollar that if it is in any way successful, which it most definitely will be, Europe and the rest of the world won't be too far behind on these bundle offers. After all, as I mentioned, it's the only way they can battle the rampant churn that's going on everywhere. And I personally, as I said, find this fascinating stuff. You, on the other hand, may have fallen asleep, have run into a ditch at some point. But the main takeaway for me today is, for these entertainment companies and large streaming entities, what they have shown is that they can build this stream together. They hence can stand strong forever. Because nothing is going to stop them now. And with that, let's have a song.
Looking in your eyes, I see a paradise. This world that I found is too good to be true. Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart that I'm feeling for you.
Let them say we're crazy, I don't care about that. Put your hands.